Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills. Dyke Heward Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International denomination with over 3,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and an author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 500 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dyke Heward Mills. That draws
us to you. Hallelujah. Are you excited that you are the next person to receive a miracle? Oh, I can't hear you. I think the people on this side will receive their miracle quicker than the people on this side. If you believe you are the next in line to receive a miracle, shout amen. Amen. All right, our first testimony is coming from Albert. Albert Adbenohevi is with the Sound Ministry. Put your hands together for him as he testifies. Or you can do it better for him. Hallelujah. Albert, tell us, what has God done for you?
I want to thank God for a package of prophetic declaration that has fulfilled practically in my life.
A package of prophetic declarations came to pass in your life?
Yes.
Wow, tell us about it.
So, coming to church, we often have the opportunity to sow a seed in the house. But normally I get excited when we are asked to sow a seed in foreign currency. Yes. Though I have little knowledge about what is practically happening, but I just enjoy when I hear the prophet says we should sow a seed in foreign currency. And so in 2016, Good Friday service, the prophet casually declared that may your passports be full. May you be a traveler. May the door to travel abroad be open. And so...
Before then, had you traveled before?
No, I have not.
Okay.
And so what happened was that there was an application to pursue a master's program, and then I also applied for it. And having done that, out of over 2,000 applicants, I was part of the 79 people to be selected to be part of the scholarship. And I happened to be the first of the 18 in my class to be selected. And so I traveled out and successfully I've completed with distinction. And the scholarship was a heavy one.
It was heavy?
Yes, very heavy.
How heavy was it?
It was fully funded. It includes tuition, accommodation, living expenses, transportation, basically everything that you need to study.
May you receive something as nice as this in Jesus' name.
And just as the prophet said, that may your passport be full. Indeed, this scholarship, I've had some good travels. Yes.
Where have you traveled to?
I've been to Europe. I've been to Asia. I've been to a lot of African countries.
And you will be there too in Jesus' name. Amen. Albert is saying, he says, as he's been coming to church, every time we are asked to sow a seed, he sows. But he didn't understand what he was really doing. Then he gave, at the Good Friday service, prophet declared that the doors to every country is opened in your life. And just after that declaration, he noticed that he's been getting the opportunity to travel. He's traveled all over, and it's your passport full now.
It's almost full.
Almost full. It will be full in Jesus. May your passport be full too in Jesus' name. The Bible says as you bring in the tithe and you bring in the offerings, the windows will be opened and blessings will come down on you. Every declaration that prophet has spoken over your life, as you fulfill your part in the house, God is going to bless you in Jesus' name. Albert, so what do you have to say?
So I want to tell the house that whenever the prophet declares or prophesies casually, we should believe it. We should flow with it. We should practically act upon it, and our life will never be the same. And so I want to thank God, and I want to thank the prophet.
Amen.
For always declaring into our life.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. Our next testimony is coming from our brother from Anakazo Bible and Ministries Training Center. Oh, do it better for him. Tell us your name and what God has done for you.
My name is Bartholomew Nsia. I want to give glory to God for a great change in my life. It started when I went to senior high school. That is Swedro Senior High School.
Swedro Senior High School?
Yes, please.
Where is it?
That is in the central region of Ghana.
Okay.
So, around 16 years of age. So, when I went, I joined a company, a bad company, bad boys, who introduced me to smoking of weed. So, I got interested in smoking a lot of weed. So, it got to a time, my final year, I was the one who was pushing, I was the pusher on campus.
You were the pusher of the drugs on campus.
Yes, please.
What's the meaning of a pusher?
A pusher is someone who sells weed. Or someone who supplies weed on campus. Like
in secondary school?
In the secondary school, yes.
Wow.
So, when I completed school, I continued smoking. It got to a time, I would spend the whole day in the ghetto. Because one of my guys was a darling boy to the boss of the ghetto. Ghetto man. So I'll be there. We'll smoke for free. So it got to a time I felt sick.
You felt sick?
Yes, please.
You were around which age?
That is around 18, 19 years of age. So my parents, I told my parents, the sickness was that I wasn't able to tell what actually was happening to me. But I felt in my feet, like thorns pinching me and my palm. It will run from my feet and come to my eyes. So I wasn't able, I was afraid that I will one day die. So I told my mother, and people introduced my mother to great men, like spiritual people, juju men. So we visited so many juju people. Like we also visited so many spiritual people. But at a point in time, I saw that it was not working. So I intentionally told my mom that I'm healed so that they will not spend a lot of money.
I see.
Yes. So one day, a friend told me that he has heard rumors in the town. That is Mankesim, central region of Ghana. He has heard rumor that Bartholomew is going mad.
A friend told you that he's heard rumors that you are going mad.
Yes, please.
But were you going mad?
Yes. At a point in time,
I see. At a point in time, what was happening?
At a point in time, I was walking on the streets and they were playing a loud music. So I heard a voice that, remove your shirt and dance. Remove your shirt and dance. At that time, I used to be a dancer and I used to be a footballer. So when I was walking on the street, I heard a voice, remove your shirt and dance. Remove your shirt and dance. But I didn't do it. It happened several times.
I see.
And because I was a little bit famous in Mankesim, and the fear of disgrace, I decided to move from Mankesim.
You're afraid you could go mad in the town?
Yes, please.
So you moved to another town?
Yes, please.
What town did you
move
to?
I moved from Mankesim to Brewa, also close to Cape Coast, central region. Yeah. So when I got there, I met a certain brother who is from Lighthouse. He was a shepherd then, but now he's a pastor. He's called Pastor Ricky Bayo. So he used to invite me to church, but I wouldn't go. At a point in time, like, it got to a time, that is, sometimes I'll go with him, we'll go to,
you go for service?
Conventions.
Conventions,
yes,
and programs.
I'll go
with
for
him.
Conventions and programs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what happened?
So in March 2014, that's where the great change happened.
Okay.
March 2014, the prophet, the Healing Jesus campaign came to Elmina.
Elmina in the central region.
Yes, please. Elmina in the central region.
Okay.
And my pastor, that pastor, Pastor Ricky Bayo, he bought a bus purposely for busing us from Brewa to Cape Coast. So he bused us from Brewa to Elmina. We got there very late, so we found ourselves at the back. So the prophet preached powerfully. He preached very powerfully. After the preaching, he said, if you are here, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, lift up your hand. So I lifted up my hands. He prayed with us. After, he said, if you are here and you are sick, wherever your sickness is, just put your hand there. But I didn't know where to put my hand. So he said again that if you are here and you don't know where your sickness is, just put your hand on
your
head.
He said it again.
Yes.
That if you don't know where the sickness is,
just put your hand on your head.
Wow.
Yes, please.
And you put your hands on your head.
So I put my hand on my head. And after the short and powerful prayer, I fell down to the ground. Before I realized, I was on the ground. And the ashes came to carry me from the back to the front stage, beside the staircase. So when they put me on the ground, and I started crying. I cried for almost 1 hour. But whilst I was crying, I felt that things were coming out of me.
Wow.
Yes.
By the stage.
By the stage.
At the Healing Jesus Crusade.
Yes, please.
You were crying and you felt things were coming out of you.
Yes, please.
What happened?
After finishing crying, I stood up. I stood up and I knew in myself that I was healed. So I just moved from the side and came to the stage and watched. Hey, this man is powerful.
He came to watch who was preaching.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
I said, hey, this man is powerful. At that time, I didn't know him. Yeah. So I said, this man is powerful. And I said to myself that I will join this church. Right now, I'm convinced that I'm going to join this church. The next day, my pastor, Pastor Ricky Bayo, took me to the pastor's conference, Healing Jesus Pastor's Conference.
Wow.
Yes, and when we came, he used to invite me. I found myself to be in the same compound house with him. So he take me to his room. We watch videos, the prophet's videos. We watching videos, and also he introduced me to the Makane and the Jema. He gave me books. So I developed interest in the things of God. Before, I wasn't into the things of God. I was just smoking and also fornicating, a lot of things. So what happened was that he would send us to the service. So anytime I went to the service with Bishop Jegodo, and I experienced a new change. And it was nice for me to go to church.
And how did you come to the Bible school?
So what happened was that Bishop Jake recommended me. That, yes, I was working. I developed interest to work for God. So I started a pastor then, And it was growing around 8 people, 11. So I developed interest to work for God. And I told him about it. And he recommended me to the Bible school.
So are you grateful to God for changing your life?
I'm so much grateful. I thank God for delivering me from madness and also delivering me from death, because that was the two conditions.
These are the two possible options that could have happened to you.
I could have died or gone mad. So I want to thank God so much for the life of the prophets.
Wow, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? So is it possible for somebody here to change?
It is possible. I believe in the prophet. There's power of God. There's a power of God over the life of the prophets.
Wow, put your hands together for that powerful testimony. Hallelujah. Amen.
Give the Lord a Holy Ghost scream. That didn't really work out like it was supposed to. If you're excited to be in the house of God, if you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, give the Lord a scream. And tell your neighbor, this afternoon, we are partnering with the invisible to accomplish the incredible. And like Prophet shared with us last week, blessed is she who believes, Luke 1:45, for you will receive a performance of the things which you hear from God. So first love, this afternoon I want you to open your heart. I want you to believe that God has a word for you. Your healing is in the word. Your transformation is in the word. Your breakthrough is in the word. Your life is changing because of the word. And if you believe nothing is impossible, then give the Lord a shout and sing, nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God.
Say nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word.
Say, hearken to the voice.
Hearken to the voice of God today. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. Everything is possible.
If you're expecting a miracle from God this afternoon, say nothing is impossible.
When you put your trust in God.
First love, I can't hear you. Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible is the word.
Hearken to the voice.
Hearken to the voice of God to thee.
Is there anything?
Is there anything too hard for me?
Lift your hands and put your trust in Him.
Trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
Do you believe that everything is possible?
Oh, everything. Yes, everything is possible. Trust in God.
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word.
Hearken to the voice.
Hearken to the voice of God to thee.
Is there anything?
Is there anything too hard for
Lift
me?
Your hands and receive
then
your miracle.
Put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word.
For everything, every problem, every issue, every disease, it's possible for God. Give the Lord a scream.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that nothing is impossible with you. And as we come before your holy word, we submit ourselves to the power of your word, that your word is able to change everything about our lives. Thank you for your miracle power that is activated today in our midst. We receive your blessing and your power in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Isaiah 42, verse 22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth. For a spoil, and none saith restore. So Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach the good news, and to preach deliverance. So as I am preaching, you are being delivered from all works of the devil. And then he said, there is none, verse 22, that saith restore. You see, so it's important what is said when a word is spoken. That's why we sang the song. When you hear a word from the Lord, your answer is not powerful or it is well. No. Or nice teaching. Yes. Your answer should be Amen. Yes. Amen is what Nehemiah said. When you hear from God, you say Amen. So he was saying that His people, you know, he had pastors. If you read from verse 19, he was speaking about his pastors. He said, who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I sent? Do you see? As blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant. The Lord's servant is blind. Verse 20, see many things thou observest not, and opening the ears, but he hears not. He's talking about his servant. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law. So God will take up his own word and make it a great thing. And the word of God is great in our midst today. And make it honorable. Then he says that my people are robbed and spoiled, and all of them are snared in holes, do you see, and in prison houses. So a lot of captivities. So a lot of demonic things. And there is none that says, you see, to have it said. No one saith, restore. So when you hear a word, casual, whatever, remember that these apparently casual statements or words are all perhaps that you need to set you free. Why? Let me tell you, when you go to a wedding, one day I was thinking to myself, when people came forward to give their life to Christ, I was asking that, is that all? But then the Lord showed me. Do you see when people are having their wedding, they come to the altar and they say, do you take this to be your wife? I do. Say, I do. Say, I do. Do you take this one to be your husband? I do. Will you, whatever? I certainly will. I said, that's all. Then you are married. Suddenly, your life is changed with just a statement. I do. I will. Finished. And you are married. You say just a few words. You say, I will, which means amen. Wow. And you are married. So, salvation equally, you know, and many great things, deliverance, comes from you hearing a word, listening carefully, and saying, amen. Let it be so. So God was not happy with his servants at all. In verse 19, he said, no, my servant, not happy with them. Who is blind but my servant? You know? Or deaf as my messenger. I'm not happy with them. Because they are not saying, restore. Amen. So I declare whatever is lost from your life, whatever the devil has taken away from these few years you've lived and has robbed you off, I say over your life, restore. Anything that has been stolen from you is coming back to you fourfold. Now, your own foolishness has caused you to lose certain things. But by the grace and the power, whatever has been lost through your personal foolishness, God is restoring it to you today. Receive restoration. Receive restoration. Recover all. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch it. Is that not so? Verse 29. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Amen? You'll be passing through the Red Sea coolly. Which the Egyptians assayed to do, were drowned. So through faith, you'll be able to do things which your unbeliever friends cannot do. Yeah. Any unbeliever you know in your life, you are going to do things that they cannot do. Yeah. You are going to have things that they cannot have. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Now, today I want to continue on faith, and I'm preaching and prophesying to you about what faith loves. Yes. What faith loves. Now, number one, faith pleases God. Amen. Faith does what? Pleases God. Amen. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So, faith. Enoch was a man of faith. If you want to know more about Enoch, read this book by Rick Joyner, The Path. In that, he had a vision and he met Enoch. He spoke to Enoch. He said Enoch was the happiest person he had ever seen before. So, Enoch was translated that he should not die. So Enoch was never died. He just continued. Next step, he was in heaven. No one could find him. Hey. People are wild with God. And he didn't die because he had this particular testimony that he pleased God. Yes. So because he pleased God, God exempted him. So exemptions usually come to people who please somebody. You get what I'm saying? That's why sometimes when there are things going on, they feel, oh, these people will be exempted. They will not apply the law to this person because he pleases the other one. Do you see? So, when you please someone, usually a lot of rules don't apply to you. It's something that happens in life. You better get used to it. That's how it is. Now, faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. When you have faith, you please God. Verse 6. So it's explaining it a little bit. Without faith, you can't please God. Yes, without faith. Without believing a lot of things. So faith pleases God. Believing in things pleases God. Yes. Now I know this shocks people. Especially those who, you know, everybody has what he does easily and what you like doing. You get it? So, like, if you are the reading type, you read a lot of books and so on. So, you can't stand people who don't read. We wonder why they don't read. If nobody has proposed to you before, and so you haven't had any encounters with the opposite sex, you also look down on those who are always having encounters. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't have feelings, you say, Mama, don't, I don't know. Those who don't have feelings, maybe those who are wearing glasses, they don't have feelings. I can't tell. Huh? Yes. I see one of the pastors wearing glasses. Maybe he doesn't have feelings. They struggle with those who have a lot of feelings. Yes. And they feel that once you can stay away from doing this, that and that you please God. But you see, that statement is not in the Bible. Like, if you don't commit this sin or that sin, you please God. It's amazing that that's not in the Bible. And it's amazing that Enoch's wife's and his family life was not mentioned. Yes. About why he pleased God. Do you see? But the Bible gives the explanation in verse 6 that without faith, a person who lacks faith, no matter how good you are, you can't please God. Yes. And faith is what we lack. You know, recently some of my lay pastors they have their own lay movement now. So they had a conference, and one of the lay leaders of the lay church was preaching, and he told the other fellow lay pastors that, look, I should have been a pastor full time. I was surprised. He said, I would have been a bishop. I should have been a bishop and a full time pastor. But when I heard the word and I had the call, I was afraid and I couldn't believe it and accept it. So I would, but he said, I was looking for money. That's the truth. You see, the truth is that things we don't do, we are not doing them because we don't really believe. We don't believe that God can take care of us. We don't believe that it will be well. We don't believe that heaven is just coming so quickly. We don't believe all these things. You must have some belief. You see, so when you read through the list of people who pleased God, that's why I said my first point today is that faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. You better believe, eh? Those of you who want to have happy relationships, maybe you should use this point and apply it to your relationships. Because whenever it comes to relationships, we all have in our minds what it is that the other person would like. Is it not true? Yes. If you grew up in a home, depending on what you saw at home, that's what you think. You don't know that you think so, but you think so. Yes. And you do what you saw. So if you didn't see anything, you wouldn't know how to do it. There are some families that don't hug. They don't hug. If they've been apart for some time and they meet, they just stand and, oh, hello. Yeah, sorry, how? That's how they are. They don't hug. Yeah, oh, chaye, long time. And they'll all be standing there. Oh, you are welcome. Some people, they always say you are welcome. It's what they've known. As soon as you come, say, oh, you're welcome. You just say, wisdom. Wunawaba. Yeah. Akwaba. So, whatever you saw is what you have as a picture in your mind as what is good. Yes. So, if you want to be happy in your relationship, I mean, I've completely deviated now into relationships. Yes. Yes. But it's a short deviation, which is important, because it affects how we relate with God. God, when it comes to God, we have also what we think He will like. Most of us think that God will be happy if we are feeling free. No, not feeling free, feeling free or without feelings. And the fewer feelings you have, the more God is pleased with you. some of the sisters, sometimes a brother is on stage and you have a feeling. Like you sort of like him, and after liking the person, you don't like yourself for liking the person. Or what I'm saying is not understood by. I'm sorry, maybe these are things that affect some other people. Yes. Boys also the same. Have a lot of feelings. Sometimes you are sitting by somebody and having feelings. And you are in the church. But you feel, are you listening? That God is happy with you when you don't have feelings. But the Bible is saying what God is happy with. That God is happy when you have faith. Yes. Faith. Yes. The more things you believe, and the more you believe in God and you believe in His word, the more you please Him. So read the list of all the people that God used. By faith, Moses. Moses was wanted for murder in Egypt. He was wanted for murder. And that case never came on, by the way. Yes. No, when he first came, he came with the issue that let my people go. So they didn't even have time to start prosecution. Yes. I don't know what the lawyers will say, but that the case never came on. Yeah. The accused absconded. He ran away. He himself knew that he should run away. Noah. He had a problem with drinking. But he's in this list, though. You'll be grafted into every good list in Jesus' name. Samson. He had a problem with girls. He's in the group. Rahab. She was a professional. She was a harlot. Yes. And she had a lot of feelings. Yes. Because, you see, if you are a harlot and there's the other harlots, if you are not into harlots, you wouldn't understand this part of the message. And you shouldn't understand it because you shouldn't be into it. If you don't understand it, sit down. But if you understand it, then stand up. You shouldn't be understanding this part. One day I was watching a film and one of the lead stars was a harlot. But I didn't know she was a harlot. Nobody in the film watching, we didn't know that she was a harlot. Till a man showed up in the film and he told the woman, I know you from New Orleans. And he told her, everybody misses you in New Orleans. Everybody misses you. Because you were a favorite. Yes. They come and request for her. Yes. Because she knew how to handle people. So, Rahab was, she was known. Yes. Yeah. But she's in the list. Look at it. Hebrews 11, the list of. She made it to the Hall of Fame. Look at her name. By faith, the harlot. Amen. And a lot of the people who are giving these great change testimonies, you see what's going to happen to them in the future. In fact, we've noticed that the so-called perfect ones. Now, you see, try not to look too perfect around us. Tell the person next to you, listen, please, honestly, I don't want to feel harassed by perfection. I don't enjoy it. I want to feel normal. Those at the back are not listening to what I'm saying. You see, those at the back. Faith pleases God. Some people are very concerned about how nice they look. Sometimes when I look at the choristers, I can pick out those who like looking nice. It's true. Now, I'm sorry to say what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is true. I can actually see that they have a certain air of, you know, I want you to see that I'm nice. Huh? Is the choristers on that side? Or this side? No, it's both sides. Both sides. Now, the Bible says that, I want to just give you a little warning about that. The Bible says that Satan loves to be seen as an angel of light. Angel of light. So anybody who likes an angelic presentation, you have something in common with the devil. Because you both like looking like angels. You are not an angel, but you want to look like an angel. Kamashiko Bayaba. And then also, there are people who like looking like they are righteous. And Satan is like that in the next verse. The next verse, it says that he likes to be transformed into a minister of righteousness. He and all his people. His ministers. Because truly, righteousness is not something, it's just by grace. Yes. Yeah. Sit down. You know, many years ago I said, you take Archbishop Duncan Williams. You know, he was going from Pussycat to Gondola to KTK, Watto Club. He was into drugs. He was everything negative. Now, at the time that God called him, maybe 1978 or 79, somewhere there, when God was calling him, there were professors in the university. There were people attending church at some of the high society churches. And there were dignified Scripture Union presidents and vice presidents. Scripture Union secretaries. But if you call them, they wouldn't believe no nothing. If you send them, they won't go anywhere. So you see, the Bible says the harlots and publicans are entering the kingdom faster. Those who have this angelic presentation, you'll be surprised. They are the people who do nothing for God. Yeah. There have always been professors at this university just here. And people from the Trinity College, people from every Bible school. And well, you don't want to do anything. People with good English speaking, whatever, good schools, went to whatever, all the schools. They don't want to do anything. And it's the same in our church. All the good people, righteous, I mean, people with one wife, stable marriage, they don't want to serve God, they don't want to do. When you mention full-time ministry, mission, they don't want it. They calmly just withdraw from the discussion and move on. And the Bible says that faith pleases God. Yeah? Believing in God, believing his word, everything he tells us to do that we don't do, shows that we don't believe him. We don't really believe him. We're just talking. Yeah. So, if you want to please God, it will never be from your morality. It will never be from your works. It will never be from what you haven't done. Because what you haven't done, you see, let's take homosexuality. More people are exposed to homosexuality now than before. So if you haven't, you are not. It may just be because you haven't been exposed to it before. You may not watch pornography, but it may be that you grew up without internet. So you didn't, in your time, there was nothing like that. So righteousness is very relevant, relative to your circumstances. It's almost circumstantial. Oh, yes. So if you want to please God, make it your desire and determination that if there is something in the Bible, you believe it's true. May I believe that, what is his name? Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Although I'm a scientist, I believe it. I believe he went into the stomach of the whale and he was there for 3 days. And I believe it. I believe Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire. I believe because it's in the Bible. The more you believe, I believe Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. And recently, I read that the heart of a whale is the size of a car, a VW car. Yes, that's the heart, only the heart. And you see, it's, you don't know science, so you don't know much. So when he said the man was in the stomach, if the heart was the size of a car, which five people are in, how much more the stomach? A chamber and hall, there would have been upstairs and downstairs even. The length of a blue whale can go up to like 10 stories on a skyscraper. 10 stories, huge like that. So you need to believe more things and always be honest. See, when you don't pay tithes, you don't. It means you don't believe that God is the one who provides for you. This is your first thing. And you don't believe that if you give, it shall be given to you. You should just be honest. I like my late pastor because he said, I should have followed it. But you see, I did not believe. I would have been a bishop. And he said, I would have been a very good pastor because he is a very good pastor. He is. He said it himself. We didn't believe. I didn't believe. You didn't believe. And I didn't believe. So the ones who have believed and have gone, let's support them. He was telling the laborers, let's support them. Because we didn't believe it. We should have, but we didn't. So honesty makes you say, look, it's difficult for me to believe. I can't. Lord, help my unbelief. Amen. That is a blessing. So faith pleases God. And faith pleases. So find in your relationship, what do you like? What does he like? We have a song. It's the breakup of my relationship. And you see, there are so many things in that song. You see, people break up thinking that they wonder why. You see some girls, they're broken up. They can cry for months and weeks. They can't even understand why they are broken up. Yes. Why? Like that silly girl who was crying on stage a few minutes ago. Crying. They don't know. What is it? Am I not beautiful? Am I not? It's not that. There's other things. Yeah. Other factors. Other things apart from how you look. One time, you know, we were somewhere and then there were people were giving speeches about their marriages and so on. So everybody had to say something nice. Then somebody shouted from the crowd, she's beautiful. I mean, it was a girl. She's beautiful. And when she shouted, I thought to myself, well, that's how her mind works. Once she's beautiful, once she's what? Beautiful. That is it. she's good because she's beautiful. Not me. The Bible says beauty is vain. Not me. Put me aside and then you can quarrel with the Bible, but I don't know. I don't see why you quarrel with me. So when you see a bride coming up down the aisle, and you maybe say, she's beautiful. And by the way, a lot of brides don't look nice on their wedding day. I don't know who's been turning them into dead bodies before they come on stage. Let me tell you, during your wedding, this is also just by the way, I'm just on the side. Do not allow people to change you. What is this? When you see the person coming, you wonder whether he's got a mask on. You go and bring a makeup artist you've never seen before. You don't know what she can do, and you entrust your face to her. And she changes your hair. You look like a gollywog. Do you know what is a gollywog? Check gollywog and put it on the thing. Gollywog. You can't be changing our beautiful girls into strange apparitions and phantoms of what they are. Gollywog, please. G-O-L-L-Y, wog. W-O-G, gollywog. Ah, have you found it? Gollywog, A rag doll. A hairy caterpillar. A caricature of a black minstrel. You can't turn our beautiful girls into, put it back, caricatures. Find another dictionary, please. If you can't find Galatians 1:10, let's continue. This is not part of the preaching. It's just on the side. I'm trying to preach very fast because of the heat so that we finish early. Do I now persuade men or do I seek to please men? If I please men, I will not be the servant of Christ. So remember that pleasing God is not the same as pleasing people. If you try to please people, you will not be able to please God. And that means you will not be walking in faith. And people really put a lot of pressure on us. We really, really try to impress people. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Verse 33. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Okay? So if you look at verse 32, pleasing the Lord. So we can change the last part of this statement. Anybody who is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may walk by faith. How he may walk more by faith. Do you see? Because faith pleases God. And Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. So when you are married, you have to balance between walking by your beliefs and pleasing a woman. And that is where the challenge comes. Some please God so much and destroy their wives. And some please their wives so much that they destroy their relationship with God and their ministry. So the middle of the road is, most Christians are in the left gutter or the right gutter. You have to aim to be in the middle of the road and be able to walk by faith and at the same time please your husband or wife. So don't go into the left gutter and go into the right gutter. And that's why you have to marry the right person. Because if you don't marry a controllable person, you see, you must test certain things. One is controllability. Can I control this creature that is moving around? So you see people, even you can't even tell your beloved to come to church. Or you can't even make her do anything as a beloved. When you are married, your powers will be even less. Yes. So you should test certain things. Yes. To see how much in control you are. And you should test and assess the arguments. So anybody you argue with, you the person is not submitted to you. If I argue with you, you are not submitted. You can't argue if I call the film stars and stuff. You will start arguing with me. It shows that. But you see, if you start arguing with me or shouting at me, what the girl who was shouting in the... What is her film name? What was she called? Lily. If Lily was to be facing me like that, would you think that... Do you think that she submits to me? I don't want to call her real name in life because what she was doing on stage, that's not her. She's actually a very sweet girl. I know her. You don't know her. I know her. Yeah, she's all that is acting. Yeah. So I don't want you to meet her and think that she will just sort you out right now. Kabbalah Bashabaya. Tell somebody, I want to really please God. I really want to please God. Amen. Number two. Faith loves creativity. Yes. Creativity. Write it this way. Faith loves creativity. Faith empowers ordinary men to operate in the class of God and to walk in creativity. Faith empowers ordinary men to operate in the class of God and walk in creativity. Have you written that? Faith loves creativity. And faith empowers ordinary men to operate in the class of God and walk in creativity. Did you write that down? And then write this down also. Faith creates a new world for those who have it. Faith creates a new world for those who have it or for those who have faith. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were created. Is that not so? By the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. So, things which are seen today were made. Now, change the version. Maybe the word framed. Change the version, please. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that what is seen was not made out of what is invisible. Change the version again. Let's see. Got another version. Formed. By faith, we see that the world called into existence by God's word. So you see, this is the explanation. This is what Darwin challenged. Charles Darwin. You know Darwin. Evolution. He went on a trip to a place called the Galapagos Islands. And there he saw species. You still can see them today, actually. Which were so unusual, animals. And he recognized similarities between these different animals which are on these islands and in the water. Years ago. And so that was where it occurred to him that maybe this animal developed over time into this animal and developed over time into that animal. Yeah. But the Bible tells us how this world came. So that what we see is created by what we do not see. Yeah. And it was called into existence by faith. The word of God called into existence what we see by faith. Put it up. By faith, we see the world called into existence. So the world was called into existence through faith. Give me back King James. Frame your world. The world that you are going to experience, the life you are going to experience, will be framed and created by your faith and your beliefs. Yes. So you need to know the word and believe many things. You know? And you need to walk in creativity. Faith loves creativity. To create is to have faith. Because when you start an experiment, which no one has seen before, you need faith. Yeah. It's scary. When I came into the ministry, I said, I'm going to be a pastor in full-time ministry. It was creating something new. When I said, we are going to transform Collegono, old cinema hall, into a church. It was faith. It was creating something. We created a place which brought Yonggi Cho and his entire Church Growth International board to that place to come and dedicate it. Yes, faith. Yeah. Faith can create a term which is not commonly used, like a term like shepherd. Terminologies. Created words. Basenta. Batenta. Beloved. Basanta. No, not that kind of word. That's an exclamation mark. That's an exclamation or an exclamation mark. Beloved dozing. Andre concert. Film stars. These are all new words. And new terms that were not in use before. So when a person starts to walk in creativity, he starts to operate in the class of God. Because God is the creator. Now, if you care to read this book, I hope you are all buying Rejoiner's books. Try to have them. It's very anointed for us. In one of the books, he met with, I forget who exactly, but he was explaining to him about creation. And he said that there are people who have worked in inventing things. And many of them were close to God, but didn't know God. But they tapped into that part of God, because we are created in the image of God. So we have creativity in us. So when you take that out of a person, you actually lower the person. So you see that human beings who are not creative or inventive usually have a lower something about them. I don't want to say they are in a lower class, but they seem to be lower. It's lower something. Those who create will tell us that we can't come to their countries. You can't come here.
Stay away. You can't come to America. They made a lot of things, eh? Stay in your school. Stay away. We've made a lot of things here, you know. Huh? We make trains. We make cars. We make aeroplanes. Largest airline in the world is Delta Airlines. They use aeroplanes like buses. They make rockets, phones, televisions. In Ghana, if somebody has welded something, you can see that it was welded here. Look at the chair you are sitting on. Was it welded in Ghana? You can see that it was not welded by us. So wherever you take away creativity and people don't create, so when you start walking in new things and creation, you start to move nearer God, and creativity is God. So faith loves creativity. Yeah, it takes faith. It takes faith to start something new that has not been done before. So I'm going to start a new Bible school called Anakazo. Yeah. And it took faith for me to write in steel that this institution is not accredited, and we do not want to be accredited by any secular organization. And cursed be the one whoever attempts to accredit us to any of these secular organizations. It takes faith, eh? Because I've not seen it. I've not seen anybody doing that. We do not want to. Actually, I've seen somebody do that before in America. Christ for the Nations, where he hosts a Bible school. He said, we don't want to be accredited. They are not accredited. They don't want it. They write on our website, we have chosen not to be accredited. Because many of the accredited places are, you know, you can teach the word of God in such a way that people don't believe. How is that? How can you teach the word of God and people will not believe? No, you can. For instance, if I teach you about David and 1 and 2 Samuel, and I teach you that, 1 and 2 Samuel was written by people from the tribe of Judea. That's why they wrote about David in a positive light, and they wrote about Saul in a negative light. But Saul also did these good things and so on, and David, and they start to analyze it. Moses was a dictator, and he was this, and you start to see these personalities in a way of where other people see them. You see that you don't believe when you read about, when you read David singing psalms and so on, you start to say, oh, this man, he killed this person, he did this, and so on. And he was politically, it was all politics he was doing. Hey. Before you realize, you don't believe a lot of things anymore. So it's not knowledge, it's faith. It takes faith to build a church that never existed before and say it will exist. Then you are walking with God, I tell you. You are walking in faith. Yes. And you know, in all of your businesses, all the business you do, the schools, you know, many people lack creativity. Sometimes I send people on missions because they lack creativity. Like when it's a new thing, they start to speak gibberish. But if you had, people had faith, many people would have gone and done well and prospered. More than they would have prospered even here. But they didn't have faith, and they couldn't walk in the creation of a new thing that did not exist before. Yeah. So don't be closed to ideas. Most of the governments are closed to certain ideas. If you suggest certain things, they may humor you by just listening to you, but they will never do it. But you can see how helplessly incapable. The roads are the same. The water is the same. Education. That one seems to be on a helicopter. That's landing on the earth. And maybe to dig a tunnel and go down. Never in the history of Ghana have we had a situation. One of my young nieces has gone to school for first time. She's coming home next week, till next year, February.
Creativity is different from destruction. Destroying things is not the same as creating things. Yes. Making everybody in Ghana wear Saito uniform is not creativity. It is destroying, it's bringing everybody down to a level. Trying to make everybody the same is not the same as creativity. That's not creativity. Making every school in Ghana the same is not the same as creativity. Cannot be. So, faith loves creativity. And you see, a person who has the boldness to create, to invent, to step forward, to step out, is a man of creativity and a man of faith. And God is with that person. Yes. Creativity does not mean destroying somebody's church to start your own church. Taking away some of the choristers to go and start your church. That's not creativity. That's stealing. I have never opposed anybody who steps out of our church to start a church, or the person wants to go and have his own ministry. I've never opposed a person unless or until the person will tamper with our church. Because creating your own ministry is different from destroying ours to create your, to start yours. That's a different thing. So I've never opposed them, because I have sons and daughters in the ministry who are not members of Lighthouse or UD. There are so many. I meet them. Recently, I met some in Malawi. And I told them, they make me feel like I'm a sailor. You know, some sailors have children in every harbor they go to. Children that they don't know, when they say, hi, you are also my son. Who is your mother? Now, I have many outside, but all that we say is, don't touch not. You see all my singers who came to sing on stage today? Yes. I'm always trying to let stars come out. You can see they are stars. You can feel it. Yes. So if you come and take one of them, you think I will sit down and pray nice prayers? I will not pray nice prayers about you. Oh, you see me. I'm now going to find what I'll study, start studying curses to see how to apply curses in your case. Yeah. Are you there or you are leaving? Yeah. Tell somebody, I'm moving in creativity. Yeah. You see the songs? I said, that's what we'll sing in this church. If you don't like it, go away. Go away and sing what you want to sing where you are. Yes. And you see the songs that Ida sings? Beautiful songs. People are afraid to do such things, but we are doing it. It's being sung all over. Yes. You don't like it, you can lump it. That's what my mother used to tell me. Kasha Palaba. Number three, faith loves victory. First John 5:4. Now, faith loves victory. Are you writing it? Then write, continue writing. And faith brings about victories. Yes, it's faith that brings the victory about. Faith brings about victories. And then, faith makes you operate in a series of divine victories. Faith makes you to operate in a series of divine victories. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Did you write? Did you get it? Or I should give it again. Faith loves victory. Yeah, if you, faith loves victory. And faith brings about victories. Faith causes victories to come about. Hallelujah. Faith makes you operate in a series of divine victories. That's why we sing the song, From Victory Unto Victory. Hallelujah. Faith brings about victory. Now notice, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You are declared an overcomer today. You are not being defeated in this life. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, this is the victory. This is the victory, or this is how the victory comes. Even our faith. This is victory. Faith is victory. Faith loves winning. Faith generates victories. It generates superiority. It generates the winner is generated by the faith of the person. All great people who have worked with God, they have a belief strongly. You know, when I entered Malawi, going to preach, I mean, I said to myself, only my beliefs will make me to come here. Because there's nothing to get there. It's a third or fourth poorest country in the world. Yes. And many of the places I go. We are going to Dar es Salaam for the next campaign. Healing Jesus campaign. Faith. People who don't have faith, they're always going to America, England, Europe, and so on. That's all they know. They think victory comes from being in America. Victory comes from being in England. Victory comes from being a European. Victory comes from having a passport. Those are not victories. Victory is walking by faith. You move from victory to financial victory to financial victory. Personal victory to personal victory. Faith generates and causes the... You see, he's telling us what it is that makes us to overcome. Tell me the problems that you have or that you haven't had. There are people that have opposed me in my life, fought against me. My faith is what will cause me to overcome. My belief in God, my studying the word and believing. Yeah, I entered into full-time ministry. I didn't know how I would live. But faith, my faith in God kept me. You see people today coming to full-time ministry, they want everything. I entered into full-time ministry not having any savings. Not having what? Savings. Yeah, had no savings. Bishop Saki had no savings. Bishop Eddie had nothing while he was working for some time. I don't know if he had saved. I'll ask him whether he had saved when I see him. But I'm sure about myself that I had no savings. But my faith. When I stepped into full-time ministry, I was living in my father's room, in his hotel room. And there was I risking my life. And my wife had married her. And I had one child, two children. How am I going to live? Where are they going to go to school? This is the victory that overcomes in this world. Faith. I believe God. Because God gave me a vision. He showed me myself walking on a path and I saw a heap of gold coins. When I got to the gold coins, I said, this is it. I stopped. I wanted to get a tipper truck to load the tipper truck with the gold in the vision. Oh, this is what I was trying to do in the vision. And the Lord said to me, no, no. Don't do that. Take just one handful and put in your pocket and keep moving. So I put my hand into the coins and I tried. You know, no matter how you try, your hand cannot take so many coins. There is a maximum number of coins. Yeah. But I had to pluck the coins and take these coins and take them should leave this big heap and just keep walking. He said, on the way that I've called you, you'll see more of these ones. I'm saving you transportation and security issues and so on. In South Africa, in the last 6 months, there have been 150 attacks on bullion vans. 150 armed daylight bombings and robbings. Daylight of cars carrying money. So God was saving me from, can you imagine my tipper truck with the golden coins? It would have been an easy target. Yeah, I'd have lost it all. And I'd have lost the future ones too. But a small one in my pocket, no one knew that I had it, so I just move it. When I reached out, I just pay. So I had money to pay when my son was going to school, when Joshua was going to primary school. I sent them to a school that was starting, because I knew that a school that is starting, the fees will be low. Look at him now. First class in law in England, and called to the bar. The same place that our President Akufo-Addo was called to the bar. The same, what is it called? Something, something. What? Lincoln's Inn. Yeah, same. He has dropped it. I met someone last week. He told me, I'm doing PhD in economics. So I said, are you going to come in full-time? He said, on the next day when I get the PhD, the next day I've thrown it away, I'm into full-time ministry. That's what he told me. He said, the next day after getting it. That's faith. PhD in economics. Called to the Bible. I said, I need God. Faith is a victory, financial victory. If my pastors had believed me when I preached to them about mortgage and all these debts, if they had believed, but they didn't believe. The one few ones who believed, few guys believed. Oh yeah, you see they've overcome financially. Yeah. I have one of my pastors, he spends $10,000 on the ministry as though he's spending 50 CDs. He's one of the few people who believed. Anything I ask for, his first thing is to give $10,000. He just has the money to give. He's one of the few people I said, mortgage is not a good thing. He believed it. Rest didn't believe it. So, Bishop doesn't know anything about business, doesn't know anything about this, doesn't know anything. But he's grateful. He's grateful. There's nothing he will not give. I've watched him. A lot of people don't believe. If they had believed, you believe. It becomes your victory. Victory in ministry. Victory. You know, one pastor, he was reading my book, Mega Church. And he said, look, somebody said, Bishop Doug, you don't know what he's doing, church thing. He said, look, he has written everything in his book, Mega Church. It's not in our church. He says, written everything in that book, Mega Church. He said, he's written everything there. What they do. Yes. But people don't believe. Church planting, church work, God's work. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. You believe it or not? Do you believe it or not? If you believe it, how can you find yourself resting? When people are joining choirs, film stars, this group, going for outreach, having crusade, and you are sleeping, you are snoring like a hippopotamus. Or how do you say hippopotamus? Or what? Hippopotamus. 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 That's how you are supposed to say hippopotamus. Hippopotamus. Okay, hippo. Hippopotamus. Hippopotamus. Tell somebody hippopotamus. That's it. Financial victory is declared in your life. Amen. Restoration is declared in your life. Amen. You are recovering everything you have lost from today. Amen. You are becoming a man of faith. Amen. Stop asking, how shall I? How? How many points do you have? Number four, faith is a mystery. Faith is a mystery. Faith loves mystery. Write it this way. Faith loves mystery. Faith is a mystery. Faith loves mystery, and faith is a mystery. Faith is mysterious in its working. You cannot see how it works things out. You cannot see. If you are waiting to see, you may never see. Faith is a mystery. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. It says, likewise, the deacons must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to too much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Verse 9, holding the mystery of faith, the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. You have to hold on to this mysterious substance, this mysterious power. The most potent spiritual force is mysterious. How will it do it? How will it happen? How will it? You see, that's what I'm saying. That when you start asking, are you not Jesus? Are you not Mary's son? Well, when you start asking certain questions, your faith vanishes. Faith is a mystery. It's mysterious in its workings. Yeah, how it actually works things out. I don't know if you're asking me. Faith is not a principle that you are following. No. He said, hold on to the mystery of faith. It's not a principle. So this principle, this leads to this, leads to that. When you put the pressure on, you press it down, then you press it, you press enter. Then it's not science. Force over area. Force is equal to mass times acceleration. Isn't it? V is equal to RI. V is what? Voltage. It's equal to resistance times current. You don't know what it's I'm talking about. Weight is equal to what? Mass times acceleration. Gravity, isn't it? Gravity is what? 9.8 meters per second. Or you are using 10 now. But it's 9.8. The real figure is 9.8. It's mysterious. If you want to see something clearly, then maybe you should resign. Look, take some paper and ask the person whether he wants to resign. You can resign from God now. It's mysterious. If you want to resign. Faith is a mystery. And the things of faith are mysterious. So you see, when you try to follow God, you see that, my God, I thought you believed in righteousness. Why do you choose Rahab the harlot? Why do you choose David the murderer? Why do you choose Moses the murderer? The Bible was written, most of the Bible was written by three murderers. Wazawa. All of you who've been given great change testimonies, God is going to use you amazingly. One day you will write a book about your life. And people will be shocked. They'll say, you? By that time you'll be wearing glasses and they will not recognize you, yes. By that time, you'll be wearing glasses. And they'll say, is it you? Now you bring out a picture of you in your young days. You better keep all your pictures, please. Yes. You bring out your picture and they say, is it you? They say, you say, it is me. This is what I was like. But Jesus changed me mysteriously. You know, I've often tried to ask God, God, don't you like righteous people? Don't you want goody people? Goody goodies. He doesn't seem to choose such people much. Joseph was about the only goody goody person that he used. Of all the characters in the Bible, Joseph was like the A1 person. Like he went for fornication. No. Even though he was a young man. And the woman had given him a wild scholar. She was wearing her wild, this type of panties, and she came around and said, no. The woman was shocked. She had not seen a young man like that. She said, no. Put on your clothes. Come on. Respect yourself. And she said, I don't respect myself. I said, you should respect yourself. Joseph was like the only person, eh? But when God was saying this, a man after my own heart, it wasn't Joseph. It was rather David. Hey, the man with the feelings. You know, David had so many feelings that when he was very old, they wanted to test whether he was near to his death. So they brought a young, beautiful girl. And when David just looked at her, he said, what can I do now? I cannot do much. Then they said, no, he's dying. They sent messages all over. He's dying. Faith. Now, how many of you don't want to work with faith because it is mysterious? How many are going to accept that it is actually a mysterious thing? Yes, it's mysterious. Not so clear. Yes. Some of the people who are singing today, it's mysterious that they are singing here. They never thought they would sing here. I didn't know them. I didn't know they would sing here. Yes. It's amazing. Whom God loves, whom God chooses. Receive the choice of God. God is choosing you now. Seriously. Faith loves preparation. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with what? And prepared an ark. Faith loves preparation, and victory loves preparation too. He prepared an ark. Yeah. So you see, victory loves preparation and faith loves preparation. As soon as faith hears a warning. Now I'll tell you something. When you are a young person, how many have ever heard your parents warning you about certain things? Raise your hand if you've ever heard, daddy was saying, mommy was saying, your uncle was saying, your grandmother warning you about something. Faith loves preparation and faith responds to warnings. Wow. Write it down. Faith responds to warnings. Anything you hear that sounds far-fetched, it sounds far-fetched. It means far-fetched means it cannot happen. It sounds like it can't happen. Anything like that, tell yourself, I will believe it. Because honestly, a flood that everybody is going to drown in, I tell you, I myself, I must confess that I find it a little difficult to believe. But recently I watched, and I will show it to you, some floods that happen in a certain country, African country. I watched a video of it. I couldn't believe my eyes. It rained 6 weeks continuous. Yes. Now, it wasn't like there was somewhere to go. The water came, and the people were on top of the last place, and the water was all around them, and they were coming for the people with helicopters. And you see the helicopter come over the water. Then they'll try to, you see the crowds were trying to come into the helicopter, cannot take more than whatever. It was something. If you see, then you see that, hey, the Noah's Ark thing can happen. Yeah. What am I saying? Warnings sound strange to those who are being warned. Always a warning sounds, be careful of it. He's just talking from his experience. You know, he must have had a bad experience. You know, these old people, this. How many have ever felt that way when you were warned about something? You just said, oh, he's in the 24th century. He's in the 18th century. That's why he's talking that way. His day is past. That's how warnings sound. One day I was with a pastor somewhere, and I had a back pain. Then he told me something. He said he told me, look at your age, and he gave me some advice. He told me some things about back pain, which I had not heard before. He warned me actually. One of my spiritual fathers from Asia. He told me, you know, this pastor, this happened, this one happened, this one, and be careful because of your age, this, that. One day I went somewhere and a pastor told me something. It sounds far-fetched. He told me, I have dogs in my house. He was giving me advice. And he said, they were very wild. I don't know whether it's his house or his children's house. Very wild. Then nobody could control them. But then they called the person who feeds them. So when the person who feeds them came, they calmed down. And then he gave them. Then he told me, he was giving me a parable. He said that he told me something about the church. He said that the people know who feeds them. The people know who feeds them from the dogs. He was saying this story. You see, when an elderly person is warning you, Noah was warned of something incredible. There was no video to watch. When he heard it, he prepared for that event. Can you believe that probably less than 2% of people have a will? And even of a certain, one that was with a millionaire, and he told me, he said, most of us millionaires don't have wills. A millionaire telling me, most of us millionaires don't have wills. Can you believe it? Meanwhile, they are warned of death. So they attend funerals every day, and it's a warning that you could be next. The young man who died this year is a warning. That you can go at any time if God decides. What will you do if you are gone? Being warned of God, he prepared. So when you have faith, you prepare for eternity. God has told us about heaven, hell, has told us about rewards, has told us about how we are going to live in heaven. And people are sitting there coolly, will not prepare. You will not win souls. You will not join in the outreach on Saturdays. You just come and sit in church on Sunday like you there. You just come to receive like it's a restaurant. There are two types of people who attend restaurants. Those who work there and those who come there to just enjoy. Yes. The film we watched today, it was a restaurant and you see workers. The lives of the workers. There are those of us who work in this First Love Church building 10,000 attendants. Not 10,000 records. 10,000 physical attendants. Swollen Sunday. Basentes. Batentes. Basanta. Different groupings. We are working because we are preparing. I'm preparing to stand before Jesus. When I stand before him, I don't want to have... There are certain topics I don't want to do, those topics to come up at all. I want to be bowing my head down like this for crown after crown. When they finish with the crown of righteousness, so you can go to the other celebration hall for crown of glory. So, okay, thank you. And I'll go to the other side. Go, so, bow your head for crown of glory. Then I go to, then they said, another crown. There are so many crowns were not mentioned in the Bible. So, really? So, yes. Many crowns. What about you? Noah was warned and he prepared. Look at it. Look. Noah warned of things not yet seen. You haven't seen it before. But he was warned. Sometimes you see somebody in a relationship, you warn, you say, this man will be like this. Are you sure? I really love him. This girl will become like this. Being warned of God, they are never moved. But Noah was a man of faith. Faith loves to prepare. When you see a man who has prepared so many things, it shows that he is a man who really believes. Now, especially things not seen. You see, most of you, you move by the things you know, you've seen. Ah, this one I've seen, I go down here. This one I've seen it before. You've seen it. What about the things you've not seen? The things you've not seen are so many. Have you seen Sri Lanka before?
No.
So you see, I don't know why. Have you seen Malaysia before? Have you seen Japan before? So many things you haven't seen before. Huh? So many things. Heaven, we will never see it. If heaven was never promised to us. Wow. So brothers and sisters, put my scripture. I like this one. Eh? We should stay here for a small camp meeting. Prepared what? An ark. You see Noah nailing a boat in the middle of Accra. And when you ask him, so how will you take the boat from here to the sea? Even let's take even just Legon here. He decides to build the boat. How will you transport it from here to Labadi? The guy was really, you see, a man of faith. And when he finished, he now was finding animals. Do you know how I've been struggling to even get antelopes? And you soon see, and those of you who have not seen antelopes before, at least you see some in an akazo. Antelopes. Yes. I asked you last week about a lion. And most said no. What about a snake zoo? You don't want a snake zoo. But you want a lion. Huh? Snake and lion. How many points do you have? 5. Number 6. Faith is hard work. Yes. Faith is not cheap confessions. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, as I have sworn, you shall enter into my rest. Verse 11. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So faith, and verse 12. So faith is to labor. You have to labor. Look at verse 11. Let us labor to enter into that rest, lest anybody should fall under the same example of unbelief. So faith is not cheap confession. So, I believe I have a car. I believe I'm rich. I believe I'm this. I believe I have this. I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe this. I have a Mercedes Benz. I believe I have the job. I believe. Let us labor to enter. How do you labor? Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. So you labor in the word. The word of God has a powerful effect. You labor in the word. The more you labor in the word and soak in the word and listen to the word and work in the word, the more you believe more things. The more you study the word, you analyze and you realize that it's not a small thing for Noah to build an ark. You search and you think about it. You meditate. Faith is not just a song. I believe I have a beloved. I believe I'm getting married. I believe my wedding is very nice. I believe that faith is not cheap confessions, please. Let us labor, verse 11, to enter. There are places you are entering in Jesus' name. Every wall that has shut you out of Europe, you are entering Europe now in Jesus' name. But you need to labor. Yes. Faith is not just saying things. We have a nice marriage. 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 You labor in the word. You find me somebody who labors in the word. I'll show you somebody who is strong in faith. Yes. Let us work hard. Work hard. Faith is hard work. Hard. Hard work. Work hard. Let us labor so that we can enter into a place where you see that our faith has worked. Although, I believe I have a Land Cruiser Prado. You see, people have made faith turn into nonsense. And it looks like rubbish preaching. But faith is hard work. Let us labor to enter. And you are entering whatever has kept you out. You are entering now in the name of Jesus. And finally, faith is love's rest. Faith loves, works hard, and faith loves rest. Ah, God rested after 6 days. You'll be resting soon. Amen. You'll be resting soon. Amen. Hallelujah. So Hebrews 4:11 says, let us labor to enter into that rest. Amen. Let us labor to enter into that rest. Now when you have faith, you are not agitated. You are calm. When you are a man of faith, you are calm. You've proposed to the girl and she's not saying yes or no. Shall I take your time? God day. Oh, man. She should be there. She should know that you just have to check your words and say, look, God will provide. There are more options. Faith is resting. You labor to enter a place of restedness. You are not agitated. Yes. Do you know how many things look out of my reach today? Many. They look like it's impossible. Today I was praying and I was seeing. You know, it's as if I'm just a newly a Christian. You know, the things that I feel that God wants me to do, it looks so impossible. I don't even know how to do them. But faith. Yes. Faith. So you labor, you work hard, then you relax. So if no brother is proposing to you, just take your time. Say, look, I'm nice, I'm full of glory. Just join the choir and just flow. Yes. Join one of the, look, those who are in the groups in the church, just follow. You see, what I'm saying is a prophecy. So just do it. Don't be out of things. Yes. Recently, we wanted somebody who makes blocks. I immediately asked, because I know somebody who makes blocks. I said, what about that person? You see, when you are not known, your name never even comes up. So those of you who sit in church and a bus just brought you, nobody here knows you. As soon as we close, I tell you, me ashia. What are you going to do in the shia? What are you going to do in the house? What are you going to do in the house? What are you going to do in the house? Nobody knows you. We need culinary stars to help us to make the kebab. I've been told that this kebab is the best in the whole of Accra. This one here. I've heard a number of reports. Somebody even told me that I'm losing a lot by not eating that kebab. Because I have not been given my portion. I'll see them after. I'll sort them out. Don't worry. I'll sort them out after church. Yeah. You are entering. Isaiah 28 verse 16. Beautiful. Isaiah 28:16. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Okay, you are not in a hurry. You are taking your time. You are rested because you believe. Yes. You will believe. He that believeth shall not make it. When you see that you are rushing, you see that you become a thief just now. How many have stolen before? Most of the time, stealing is from what? Rushing. Yes. You don't have faith that it will be given to you. You know, one day somebody stole something from me. I called him and I counseled him. Yes. I told him, what do you need? Anything you need, you ask me, I'll give you. Yes, I'll give you anything you need. I'll give. You don't steal. If you steal, you'll lose your job. That was the advice I gave. And it is true. So just ask me, I'll give you. Yeah. So you see, when you start stealing, it's because you are rushing. But if you have faith, you say, oh no. There was a prophecy that I'll be parking my car here. I believe it. I will walk and I will take transport without stealing for the rest of my life. And God himself will take care of me.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. By the grace of God. Yeah. Whatever you don't have, there's no hurry. Yes. Whatever you don't have, there's no hurry. He that believeth shall not make it. What you don't own, don't worry. God will make you will not, you will be surprised. Look, I can show you people today in this church. Some of them you think they are high up. They were all staying in uncompleted houses. They were squatters. Do you understand when I say squatters? Do you know what squatters are? Like people who stay any uncompleted house, they stay in it. You see them top people here driving cars, air conditioned. They were all squatters. Yes. It's mysterious. Don't ask me how. When you ask me how, you've also asked me an exam question I can't answer. You get what I'm saying? Because faith is a mystery. If you ask me how you're going to be promoted, I also don't know. How will you get a beloved? I also don't know how you can get a beloved. But I know that you will have a beloved. But if you ask me the how, that is a part I can't answer. It's mysterious. But relax. You see, girls, when you become agitated, you'll get pimples. Yes. Just relax. Your skin, your face will even change. You see that you are worried about something. Just relax. The more relaxed you are, the more beautiful you be. Oh. He that believeth shall what? Not make haste. When I say he that believeth, you say shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth
shall not make haste.
Whatever vision God has given you, it will come to pass. At the appointed time, it will come to pass. In the mighty name of Jesus. So whatever has been spoken over your life, whatever you have read in the word of God, be comforted in your heart. Faith is to rest. Faith is to trust. Faith is to take God at his word. And say, Lord, I believe. I don't know how. I don't know how or why or what. But I believe. Yes. How many have stayed in an uncompleted house before? Yes. Your air condition. You see, you will be pressing remote on air conditioning.
Yes.
One day you will say, I need to go and sit in a trotro to just to remind myself of what is trotro. I just want to have the feeling again of my trotro days. Can I have an amen from somebody who believes? Kalama Shatabala. Stand to your feet, everybody. Faith loves to rest. I hope you wrote that one down. Faith loves rest or loves to rest. And faith is hard work. So faith is hard work. It's also resting. So when you see people who doesn't rest, he doesn't have faith. Father, thank you for the blessing today. For healing us today. For touching our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at me, everybody. If you are here, and you don't have Jesus as your Savior, it means you don't have faith. Christianity is called the faith. The faith. You don't have faith. You don't have Jesus. Today I want to pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Without that, you have not started. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You want to give your life to God today. Raise your hand and I'm going to pray with you specially. This is your chance. I see your hands. I see your hand. I see all your hands. God bless you. I need to start with God today. That's the beginning. To start with God now. If you want to start with God, a new walk of faith, to follow Jesus, your hand must be up now because this is your chance. I will not give you this chance again. I'm warning you, it's your time to prepare for God. God bless you. If you've lifted up your hand, walk towards me right now. Walk to me in the front here.
Come on to Jesus. Give him your life.
Come, let me pray with you very quickly. I want to pray with you right now. God bless you. God bless you. I want to give my life to God today. Let him have his way. This is your chance. This is your chance. This is your chance. Come to Jesus. Let him have his way.
Give him your life today.
Lift your hands and say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus. Oh, I can't hear you. Say, Jesus. Thank you for today. Please forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you, Lord Jesus. Wash me. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. I give my heart to God today. Thank you, Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I am a child of God and I'm born again. I will follow Jesus for the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Give the books out. Don't wait for me to say anything. Just give the books out to the people. Now, I'm giving you a book. It's my gift. What's your name, my dear? Lois. Beautiful. Lois. You are the second Lois in the church. There's the first Lois. Amen. Now, third. Okay. Yeah, you are the third. Lois the third. Okay? Where do you go to school? Legon. You know, God made me ask you your name because your life is changing from today. Amen. A new day is beginning. And many of you here, are you listening? Oh, look at me, all of you. I'm talking to Lois the third, but I'm talking to all of you as well. Your life is changing because faith changes everything. When you believe, you see that you are different from everybody. Noah was warned and he believed. The others didn't believe anything. They didn't say, we believe nothing. But today, you are believing. Is it beautiful? Are you going to obey God? Are you going to follow Jesus? Amen. Which school do you go to? Ideal College. Which school do you go to? Methodist University. Which school do you go to? Working. Which school do you go to? Legon. Your life is changing. I hope it's clear. What's your name? Charlotte. A great change begins today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You see, the Bible says, there is none that saith restore. No, nobody is saying restore. You are restored today. Lift your hands. Father, restore these ones. Let them be declared restored to you, to your will, perfectly, forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As soon as we close, come to this corner over there. Wave your hands, girls. All on that side, come there. Those of you holding this book, your life will never be the same. Amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. And you may be seated. Take your communion, Zechariah chapter 9.
This is my body, which is broken for you. eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.
Zechariah chapter 9 tells us the power of the blood covenant. Verse 11. It says, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. So today, every prisoner in a pit where there is no water, no refreshing, no one to love you, no one to marry you, no one to help you, no one to care for you. Out of a pit, I'm sending thy prisoners. By what? The blood of the covenant. Kama shaka pasadana. Oh, I'm reading a verse you don't understand. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners. Prisoners out of the pit. So you are coming out of every pit that is holding you today by the blood of the covenant. Do you believe the blood of the covenant is working for you? Somebody here, you are not having water at where you need water. Receive water today. Verse 12. Beautiful. Turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope, even today. Today do I declare unto thee that I will render double unto thee. God is going to restore double back to you. God is going to restore double back to you. Whatever you seem to have lost in your life's journey. Do you believe in the word double?
I believe.
I will render double.
Amen.
I will render double.
Amen.
Double.
Amen.
Double.
Amen.
Double.
Amen.
So, you know, God has rendered whatever it seems that I've lost by being a full-time minister. God has rendered double to me.
Amen.
God is, what grace is on me is on you too.
I receive it.
Stand to your feet. Take the bread. Father, thank you. According to this covenant, let there be a double restoration.
Amen.
He that eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has life. Every prisoner comes out of every pit.
Amen.
By this covenant.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The body. The bread, the body of Jesus Christ. And now, Zechariah 9, verse 11. As for you, by the blood. Are you seeing the verse?
Yes.
By the blood of thy covenant, I have sent you forth thy prisoners out of the pit. Any chain that is holding your leg,
Jesus.
You are free from it today.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus speaks for everyone here today, Father. Thank you for this blood, the blood of your covenant with us, Lord. The new covenant in thy blood. We receive it. We receive deliverance.
We receive
from every chain, every pit.
In
Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus. Lift your hands. For your blessing. thus shall you bless the people by saying, restore, recover, return.
Yes.
Receive these three words.
I receive it.
Restoration. Restoration of whatever is lost in your life. Recovery.
I receive it.
May you recover sevenfold.
I receive it.
Whatever seems to be lost in your life, you are recovering it sevenfold. In the name of Jesus. And the third word. Return. Whatever has gone away from you, I call it in the spirit. Come back home. Come back home. Come back home. Come back home. In the name of Jesus. All the years of your life that seem to be lost, I command them to be recovered in Jesus' name. All the days of your life that seem to be spoiled, I declare restoration over them. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord restore all things to normalcy in the name of Jesus. Your health is returned to normal. Your eyes are returned to normal. Your body is returned to normal. Your breasts are returned to normal. Your kidneys are returned to normal. Your liver is returned to normal. Every cancer cell in your body is returned to normal. In the name of Jesus. Every strange symptom in your life is restored to normalcy now. In the name of Jesus. Every strange diagnosis over your life is canceled and you are returned to normal. In the name of Jesus. Every journey you are making towards the grave, every journey you are making towards your grave now, I return you back to where you were before in Jesus' name. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Every advancement that you are making towards your grave, towards a mortuary, towards your funeral, I cause you to return back in Jesus' name. Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
All types of imprisonment of your life, social imprisonment, psychological imprisonment, marital imprisonment, financial imprisonment, socio-economic imprisonment, spiritual imprisonment, I declare all prisoners set free today.
Amen.
I declare all prisoners set free today. I declare all prisoners set free today.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
Let me hear louder amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All types of bondages and imprisonments of your life, every relationship that is not good for you, I curse that relationship
amen.
Now. Every relationship and friendship that is destroying you, I curse that relationship now. In the name of Jesus, I purify all your relationships. In the name of Jesus, receive restoration, receive recovery, receive a returning to normalcy. In the name of Jesus, lift your hand and thank God for restoration and deliverance and recovery by the power of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Give thanks to God. Everybody give thanks. The Bible said this is where Jesus gave thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks with a grateful heart for recovery. 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 Rama Shola La Baba. Restoration. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And everyone said amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dyke Mills, please visit our website at www.diacuadmills.org. God richly bless you.